At school, did you have a favourite subject? English, maths, maybe art or music? What were the things at school that really interested you, that kept you engrossed, fired your imagination? We're talking about kids and creativity here in Life Matters, what it is, why it's important, and how to encourage it. Now, this weekend, the first ever Mark Colvin Conversation is being held as part of Vivid in Sydney. Now, you'll remember Mark Colvin was the long-term, much-loved and much-respected presenter of PM on ABC Radio. He died in May last year. And the question that's being posed at this forum in his name is, are schools and society encouraging or stifling creativity? Two of the people taking part are Lucy Clark, who's a senior editor at The Guardian Australia and the author of Beautiful Failures, How the Quest for Success is Harming Our Kids, and Robin Ewing AM, who's Professor of Teacher Education and the Arts at Sydney University. Lucy, hi.
Hello, Amanda.
First of all, what do you remember about your own school days? Did you feel like you had chances to be creative?
I did, actually. I thought about this a lot during the writing of my book because, you know, we're so focused on academic outcomes now. I wanted to look back at my own experience with education. It really, my memories have nothing to do with the academic outcomes and much more to do with a sense of community and well-being and the enjoyment of education, which very much was always centred around creativity.
Robin, hello to you too.
Hello, Amanda.
And what about you? Did you have teachers who nurtured your creative side as a child?
I certainly did have some teachers who allowed me to explore my creativity. But I also was very fortunate that I had drama and dance offered locally at a very reasonable price. And
so this is outside of school?
Outside of school at the local youth club. And I was able to explore creativity in a way that weren't always possible at school.
Robin, when we talk about creativity, though, is it all about drama and dance and music and the visual arts, or can creativity, is creativity broader than that?
Oh, I think creativity is much broader than that. I do think that creative arts processes and quality experiences can be linked to our creativity, but I think creativity can happen across all of the disciplines.
So, Robin, what's important then about giving children space to be creative? What does it mean for their brain development and the benefits to their overall learning?
Well, children are born with so much curiosity and so many questions as they begin to make sense of their world. So I believe that they are innately curious, creative, and imaginative. And you only have to listen to young children's questions to see how broadly they're thinking about the world. So I think when they go to preschool and then to school, we need to encourage and foster that imagination, that questioning, that asking of, you know, deep philosophical questions. Sometimes I think we can not give them those opportunities, and sometimes that creativity can be subverted in a sense, and I think that's a big mistake.
Well, Lucy, as I've mentioned, you've written about some of this. You've written about the pressures that your daughter felt to conform in a system that didn't really suit her. This is in this book, Beautiful Failures. Why do you think there are more pressures now on children to conform and to perform academically than there might have been in the past, like in your own experience?
I think there's a lot more pressure in schools these days for a few reasons. Parents are very invested in their children's outcomes, academic outcomes. There's a lot of pressure on them. They're concerned about how their kids are going to make their way in an uncertain world. And, you know, there's also been research saying that kids who go to university are going to earn much more than kids who don't go to university. So everyone thinks that they've got to go to university. So there's this bottleneck at school to get into university because people want to earn more money so they have more security in the future. We're facing a time in life, or our kids are facing a time in life that's very uncertain and insecure. So they think that academic achievement is a key to their success. So this means we've narrowed our view of what success means. And in doing that, we've also sort of upped standardized testing. And that means that, you know, wonderful things about education get stripped out of the system.
And, yes, well, and it's sometimes called industrialised education, yes. I think. So when you've got a child who perhaps needs to do things differently, I mean, how stifling is that?
It's incredibly stifling. I mean, the system that was designed in the mid-19th century for the Industrial Revolution is still with us today. And, you know, it demands conformity and compliance, which is pretty much the opposite of creativity and imagination. And, you know, kids, as Robin said, start out incredibly creative beings, and that is just stifled by the system as they go through their journey, as they head towards achieving that magic number at the end of 13 years of schooling that is apparently the key to their future success.
Well, let's hear from you too now. Matthew Crawford's here too. Hi, Matthew.
Yes, hello. Natala has sent us a message. She remembers a very special teacher, Miss K. She went against the tide. So thankful my sons had her as a teacher in an early learning centre. She quietly stood strong against the pressure to push. And I still remember the smell of crayons. Don't we all? Now, Skye is calling from Queensland, and Skye, I understand you're a dancer, and Skye, to what extent do you think we're getting it right in terms of the amount of creativity we're teaching in schools?
Well, I'm not sure about schools. I have a little girl who's in grade two, and I really feel I probably can't comment on the curriculum, but I was a dancer and a choreographer for a good decade before I had my daughter, and I kind of think that we should not think of creativity as only belonging in the arts. Mm. I think fundamentally you can't separate creativity from what it is to learn for the human brain.
It's really about thinking, being able to think imaginatively and come up with original ideas, and that applies, Skye, across the board, doesn't it?
I think so, and I think I actually don't think I was taught about creativity processes in the arts. I certainly don't want my daughter to do ballet, for example, because I don't think that helps creativity. For me, it sort of fits with being able to wonder about the world and being able to be okay with maybe not understanding something yet, or, you know, the growth mindset stuff around, well, I haven't achieved that yet, but I'm on my way. And that's really how the human brain grows. And I think we can do that we can encourage our children to have that mindset in lots of ways. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to go off to a dance class or an art class. It's about creating a wonder about the world and questioning things that we see. You know, a moth on the footpath on the way to school can be a great way to foster those thinking processes around open-mindedness. I don't think it's necessarily the sphere of only the education department or only the creative arts. I think it's something that as parents and as adults in the community, we need to find little ways to foster that wondering, and that we don't necessarily know everything, but we're all interested to know more. And I think that's fundamental to learning, and that's really where
I think we got you, Skye. Thank you. Yeah. I like the way you put it, to wonder about the world and questioning. Then let's go to Joni now in Brisbane. Now, Joni, you went to school in the 1960s. Tell us about your experience of creativity.
Well, so-called creativity. We were forced to have music classes and art, but they were forced on us. It gave me an incredible lifetime hatred of music.
Took all the joy out of it?
Yes. Mm. And on the other hand, I went to ballet classes. Sadly, I started too late. But I went to ballet classes from when I was 11, and I loved that because it was something that I chose. I think creativity has to come from the child up, not from the system down. You can't teach creativity. You can't force somebody to have an imagination. We had art classes where we were told, just use your imagination and draw what you like. And I was stumped. And so were a few other kids.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The points you've made are good, though, that, you know, it's about choice. And it's also, I think what you're saying is it's also not what you're taught, but how you're taught. Thank you, Joni.
And a text message from Mitch. When I went to school, art classes were for the students who didn't want to do PE. I wanted to be an artist when I grew up, which meant I missed out on my second love, playing footy. I did grow up to be an artist, but I'm still angry about having footy taken away from me.
Yeah,
thanks very much,
people
Mitch.
People think there's an art and sport divide. It's false.
Yeah, you can have both. Well, you might want to have both indeed. Now, Rosa is calling from Coburg. Now, Rosa, you're working with children with disability, and I wonder what... Well, tell me how you can impart creativity to those children, Rosa.
Okay, yeah. So I work with children with both intellectual disabilities and social and behavioural issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those are children that do not conform, so they are not doing well in a school, in mainstream schools.
Can creativity help?
Creativity does help as a tool of empowerment for those children, because through creativity and imagination and acknowledging that their way of seeing the world and their way of experiencing and expressing their world and their ideas and their values is legitimate.
Rosa, how do you actually help them or facilitate that creativity in your students?
Look, there are many ways, and they vary from group to group, of course, and from need to need. So we can, one of my sessions would look like, can look like a game, a play session, in which we do physical game to start with. You know, the simple game, playing elastic, playing limbo, those sort of games.
Hmm.
Where you really get in touch with your body, and you also, for children who have got ADHD or other behavioural issues, where they cannot sit still and pay attention.
Yes, get moving. Rosa, thank you for that. Let's go now to Catherine, who's on the Sunshine Coast. What happened to you in primary school, Catherine?
I had a teacher that said to me, "Why can't you do things the same way as everybody else?" And I don't know what the issue was. I can't remember what it was.
How did it make you feel?
Well, it actually made me, I felt like I was a problem because of that, but it didn't stop me because I actually went on to do performing arts in my later years at university, but I always, through life, I saw things differently to other people. I saw if there was a problem, how could I fix it? It was like problem solving.
Mm.
So a faster...
Which is part of being able to think creatively, isn't it? It's about problem solving.
That's right. And it's not about being a performer or whatever, which, as I said, I later on went to do. But I can even remember that we had a television, you know, with the dial. We had to turn the dial to change channels. And I worked out that the reason why the reception was bad on one was that if you turned the dial half, it was fine. So there I was. I got an elastic band and I put it around the dial, put it on the bottom dial on the television and half turned it so we could get great reception on that television.
Good on you, Catherine. That's brilliant.
So
Thank you.
It's about thinking creatively outside the box, because it's about detail. Because some kids see things differently to others.
Yes.
And that was me.
Lovely. All right. Thank you. Thanks for your call.
And a call too from Duncan, who's on King Island. King Island High School, Duncan. And you're teaching music there. And how have you contributed to King Island's creativity, Duncan, with your work?
Well, we're a district high school, so we go from kindergarten through to year 10. Part of my studies at university was looking at creative processes, and I very consciously teach a creative process from kindergarten through year 10. We look at steps like experimenting in a given medium, choosing ideas that you like, putting your ideas in order, refining them, and then reflecting back over the work and deciding where to go to next.
That's a very systematic approach, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can categorically confirm that you can teach creativity, and then I use that to expand it out across other areas of the school.
And what kind of benefits do you see there for the rest of the school?
Well, it is about inspiring imagination, but it's also about teaching persistence and using these processes to go back and forth on to come up with finished works.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, Duncan. That's a comprehensive approach.
Let's go quickly to Therese, who's in Queensland. Now, Therese, you're encouraging creativity in your adult kids?
Well, yes, I'm an artist myself, a primary art specialist teacher, but more so a mother. And when my kids were little, I gave them lots of opportunities to explore possibility. And, you know, I can remember in the school holidays I'd go to reverse garbage and buy a whole bag of recycled rubbish, and they'd spend all the holidays making things with it and playing with it. And, you know, I always remember my son, you know, wiring up trees in the cubby house, pretending he was an electrical engineer. And, you know, now he's a web designer and incredibly creative. But I think the thing, and I agree with everything everyone's been saying, I see it at school with the kids I teach in a low socioeconomic school. I see the benefits of the arts, but, you know, you have, as a teacher, you have the structure of curriculum requirements, but they're in the primary sector. There's lots of possibility for exploring creativity. And the biggest thing, I think, that I saw from my own kids is play. You know, to play as children, to play as adults. Lots of adults are scared to explore creativity, you know, for whatever reasons, because they think perhaps there's a right or a wrong way to create whatever art sector it is. So I think it's important to be really, really playful. So I'm very passionate about this topic.
I can tell. Thank you, Pat. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Therese. If I can just come back to our guests too, Professor Robin Ewing. Now, just from a number of things that have been said there, Robin, or particularly our last caller, Therese there, one of the issues is really, you know, is creativity, teaching creativity, encouraging the use of the imagination, separate from other learning, you know, when you're trying to teach kids basic literacy and numeracy, how have you got time for creativity as well?
I think that it can be embedded in all learning, Amanda. I think that part of the problem is that sometimes teachers feel so constrained by things like high-stakes testing and teaching to the test. That creates anxieties for them and sometimes anxieties for the children. And one of the things that I think underlies all that we've heard this morning, which is so important, the importance of play, is giving children the time and the space to explore and to take risks, and also in a safe environment where they can make mistakes and they understand that they will learn from those mistakes. It's not always guessing the right answer on a multiple choice or guessing, you know, what's in the teacher's head. So I think you certainly can explore creativity across all of the subjects, but you have to have the time and the space to do it.
Well, Lucy, it does seem that children often will drop some of their creative pursuits, you know, as particularly ones they might do outside of school, like music lessons or dance classes, as school ramps up in the senior years. How can they possibly fit everything in?
Well, I think it's a matter of looking at how we reduce the pressure on kids. And, you know, I spoke to a lot of kids for my book, for my research, who, you know, felt as they got to the pointy end of their school journey, they were really having to drop the things they enjoyed the most. And, you know, those are the things that actually give them a sense of well-being, give them a sense of themselves, and that actually enhances academic learning. There's a lot of research, and Robin knows this, she's done huge reviews into this, about the connections between creativity and mental well-being. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the diminishment of the arts in schooling has coincided with an increasing mental ill health in young kids today. And we talked about play in the early years. That's very important and that's well documented. But as kids go into the adolescent years, which are a really, really terrible time for so many kids on so many levels.
We start to lose that sense of play.
Yeah. And that's really when it becomes even more important in a way that they hold on to a strong sense of themselves as they make it through a system that doesn't really encourage thinking outside the box. I mean, your caller, Catherine, from the Sunshine Coast talked about thinking outside the box. Mm. Kids aren't rewarded for that as they head to the later years of school.
Well, let's hear some more calls. Matthew,
yes.
What do we got?
An anonymous text first, actually. In a class called Robots and Rockets, my son was reprimanded in his report, in which the teacher wrote that he, quote, should stop doing what he was told would not work. He survived, despite the system, and now is doing a PhD in robotics and is on a scholarship at Oxford. So that turned out well.
Well, and knows how to ask questions and delve into things he doesn't know the answer to.
Quite so. Now, Pamela is calling from the Gold Coast. Pamela, what role is there for creativity in history?
Well, for the first time, I became obsessed with a subject. I'd never become obsessed with the subject before. It was Australian history, and it was taught to me by an English teacher, Mr. Holt at Port Moresby up in Papua New Guinea. And from that day on, I sort of listened every time he gave a lesson.
And what? How was that a creative process for you, Pamela?
Well, he spoke about interesting people like Ned Kelly and Caroline Chisholm and Francis Greenway. And I realise now that I'm obsessed with social kindness and architecture and all that sort of stuff that I guess interested me back then and still today.
Well, it speaks to the importance of an inspiring teacher, doesn't it, Pamela?
For sure, yeah.
Mm, thank you. Let's go to Tristan now. Tristan, you're thinking about structure around all this discussion of creativity.
I guess I'm an analytical person by birth or by genetics, so everything I do is around structure. In fact, my job today is to take greys and take chaos and turn it into structure and systems and processes. So I've found that even though a lot of curriculum today may still be geared towards that industrial revolution approach, I still think the world needs system, the world needs structure. And for me, I think we need to find a way of finding a balance between empowering our kids to have that creativity and empowering our kids to have that out-of-the-box thinking whilst also doing it in a structured method. I actually don't think the two are mutually exclusive. Exclusive, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, let me put that to Robin Ewing too. You know, that idea of creativity and structure mutually exclusive.
Not at all. I think creativity is more than the having of a wonderful idea. You actually do have to be quite persistent and quite disciplined to follow your ideas through and to collaborate.
Yes, I think there's the British arts and education expert Ken Robinson talks about you've got to produce something. It's more than just being imaginative. It's about being generative.
Yes, that's exactly right. And also there are lots of times when you need to work collaboratively with others. So it's not just a singular activity. It's often an opportunity to work with others in a systematic way to see your idea follow through to some kind of outcome. So, yes, I don't think those things are mutually exclusive at all. And I certainly agree that as teachers and parents and community members, we can foster those kinds of dispositions, in a sense, to help children take their ideas further.
Well, Lucy Clark, can I just raise with you something that I think you've both been sort of referring to without saying it, and that's the NAPLAN testing, you know, the standardised test that children do in years 3, 5, 7 and 9 for literacy and numeracy. Mm. Now, it seems like at least New South Wales is going to phase NAPLAN out and wants to try a more sophisticated form of assessment, but I'm curious to get your thoughts, Lucy, in general about this sort of focus on assessment.
Well, it's the focus on assessment and outcomes that increases the pressure on kids, on teachers, on principals and on schools. I mean, it's a systemic pressure that serves no one well, really. the data that's collected can't even be reliable, really, because schools, different schools, treat the NAPLAN in different ways. So, you know, one school will really get their kids to, you know, they'll be teaching to the test, get their kids G'd up for it, and the next school won't even mention NAPLAN. So, you know, it's, you have to wonder about the data in the first place. It's really toxic for kids. Teachers find it difficult. It's, you know, the evidence has been in on this for so long, and I think, you know, we are obviously going to see the phasing out of it. And you know, this is a really good thing. We don't know yet about all the details about what will replace it, but you know, the reliance on data, I think, is a problem in terms of having the time to be creative and trusting teachers to do their job without having to answer to you know, government mandated testing program.
I was just going to say, allowing teachers to be creative and meet the needs of their students as individuals instead of having to teach to a test, which is, can only test very limited aspects of things like literacy and numeracy and writing. And can I just add that this, we have a big concern about the suggestion that all six-year-olds should do a test now, knowing what we know about the problems of tests, these kinds of tests, instead of looking at teachers being able to diagnose what every student needs. We're now talking about all six-year-olds in Australia being tested for phonics.
A quick text message. Take a boy and give him an arts degree and I'll show you a man. That's a great point. What a good point. Now, Ian is calling from Sydney. Ian, you're a mechanical engineer. What kind of role does creativity play in your life?
Yes, quite a big one, actually. In fact, it took me a while to figure that out because I had trained as a mechanical engineer, worked in industrial automation, and then joined a bank. And I was designing, as it turned out, a lot of the early internet services for the bank. And I fell into this mode where I thought I was an imposter because I was designing, but I actually thought, well, I'm not artistic, therefore I can't be a designer.
And so
I'd mixed creativity with artistic. And once I discovered that and figured out that they were two different things, and then I realised that my core capabilities were actually creative problem solving.
Yeah, and that's, I think, you know, really one of the central themes that's been coming through this conversation as well. We do tend to conflate creativity with being artistic, and they're not necessarily precisely the same things. And thanks for your call, and thanks to you all for your calls and comments. Look, there are more, I know, and we're not having time to get to them. If you've got something that you want to add, do post on Facebook. We're at ABC RN Life Matters. Thanks also to our guests, Lucy Clark, who's a senior editor at The Guardian Australia and the author of Beautiful Failures. Robin Ewing, AM, is Professor of Teacher Education and the Arts at the University of Sydney. Both of them are taking part in the first ever Mark Colvin conversation that's on as part of Vivid Sydney this weekend, and it's posing the question, are schools and society encouraging or stifling creativity? Now, there's a link to that event on the Life Matters website if you want to know more. And Lucy and Robin, thank you so much for joining us in Life Matters ahead of that.
Thanks very much, Amanda and Matthew.
Pleasure, Amanda and Matthew.
Amanda Smith with you, along with
Matthew Crawford. Thank you.
And you're listening to Life Matters.